Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, I wish you a Merry Christmas, and you'll notice it's not M-E-R-R-Y, but it is M-A-R-Y. And in this Advent season, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be looking at a couple of characters, obviously, Mary and Joseph, and then some of the scenes that surround this whole matter of celebrating the birth of Jesus, things that were there, that were present and significant at the time when Jesus was born. We're going to be talking tonight about an angelic visit. And along with that, miracles in Mary, miracles that take place in the life of Mary. Now, Mary was a virgin. Now, the impossibility of life emerging from the womb of a virgin, well, that requires a rather profound miracle as the life of Jesus Christ is being formed in her. That's really the key miracle in the life of Mary. But there are a whole bunch of other miracles as we go along and we see this. You see, Mary is blessed. She has been chosen. She is blessed. So that in the darkness of that womb, somehow she receives the Holy Spirit and life comes out. God wants that life to be coming through the womb of Mary, but God also wants to reach into the dark places inside of us where there might not be life, and he wants to have life come forth in us, to be delivered, just as Jesus was delivered from Mary, God's light and his truth to be delivered not only to us, but then through us to other people. So the miracle of Mary is to be a miracle with us as well. The Christmas story is not just some kind of a random accidental happening, a series of little episodes that, oh, well, there they are. But they are carefully planned. Everything has been quite carefully scripted. As a matter of fact, it goes all the way back before time began. So we're going to walk through a part of that today. We're going to take 10 steps as we walk through the Mary miracles. And we're going to note several things as we go along. So I'd ask you to pray with me as we give this time over to the Lord for his ministry to us. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you that you already were here. You've been waiting for us. Thank you, Lord, that you have something to touch our lives with. Lord, you have miracles that are to be experienced in our own lives. And as we think about and as we see the miracles that took place in the Virgin Mary, Lord, may miracles of the same sort be taking place in us, and that we ask through Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Okay, the first step is there is an angelic visit that comes at an appointed time. So let's read what it says in Luke 1 regarding that time. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. In fact, we're going to see several appointed aspects of this. The first, about that matter of an appointed time. In the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul says that when the fullness of time had come, when exactly the right moment in history, when everything is converging together according to the plan of God, things geographical, things political, things historical, all coming together, and at that time that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those who were under the law. That fullness of time, which is a moment that God selected for the appearance of the Savior Messiah. It converges at just the right moment in history. Now, Luke notes a specific time thing in there. He says the sixth month. which actually was the sixth month of the pregnancy of a lady by the name of Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah, really old people, beyond the time when you would expect that a baby could be born, but she is pregnant with the promised child, whose name is John. It would be John the Baptist, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. You see, as we come to this point, miracles are already beginning to happen, miracles surrounding the coming of the Savior into the world. Well, God has a right moment for things. As a matter of fact, God has a right moment for you to begin to bring new things into your life, to have certain miracles begin to emerge, to bring light and truth and love and all those things to encounter you in a new way with grace, so that we understand in ever-increasing ways what it is to have the grace of God in our lives, to have the love of God penetrating into the dark places of our heart, just like life was penetrated into that dark womb of Mary, God's word, God's work, then coming into our lives. And there are sometimes very specific times which could be your moment and your miracle. As a matter of fact, every time we present ourselves before the Word of God, it is a chosen and appointed time for an encounter with God Himself and miracles beginning to happen in our lives. Now, as we take the second step forward, we see that the angelic visit is at an appointed place. As I just had read, that the place is called Nazareth. So where would all this take place? On what hemisphere? On which continent? In which nation? In which house? In which front porch of that house? When and where would that all take place? Well, God has selected a place, and that place is called Nazareth. Nazareth. There, within finite space, at a time within finite time, we meet the infinite and we meet the timeless and the eternal, all brought together. And they are met in the Virgin Mary then, as that announcement comes to her, and the life of the Son of God begins inside of her womb. Well, God's eternal purpose and plan for you was conceived in eternity, but in real time and in a real place. He wants it to connect with our lives. As a matter of fact, consider God coming into real places, like here tonight, or as we come to the Lord's Supper. God is entering into that in a miraculous and a very special way for each of us. He wants to meet us and to encounter us in this place, and not only at this time, but in this place as well. Consider the sacraments. Consider the Word, God saying, I'm going to meet you there, and He expects to meet us there as well. So God comes to your specific place, your specific life, your specific address. He knows it. He knows everything about you geographically. He doesn't have to Google it. He knows it. He knows where you are. He knows where you are emotionally, financially, spiritually. In every way, He knows every detail. And that means He also knows every one of your needs. And God has been plotting throughout all time and eternity to meet the needs that we present before Him. So He meets us in a specific place. Well, the third step is that the angel visits an appointed person. So we have an appointed time, we have an appointed place, and now we have an appointed person. And that is he gets very personal. The angel gets personal. He says, greetings. You might say, you know, Hail Mary, greetings. Yes, I bring you this greeting from eternity. Now, and from eternity, God knew that it would be Mary. Now, consider this. Go back to Genesis chapter 3 in your mind, the day when Adam and Eve fell into sin. And God made a promise, and He talked about the seed or the descendant of the woman who would destroy the works of the devil, would crush that devil's head, that serpent's head. Now, there is only one who was a virgin, or where, let's say, one who without a man had a descendant, and that is Mary. God already had that in mind, the descendant of the woman, not a man and a woman, but of the woman. And in the 7th chapter of Isaiah, in the 14th verse, it talks about a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God, not far away, but in Jesus Christ, God actually coming to be with us. God had appointed a person for that. And you know what? God has appointed you too. You are not some accident. You are not just some kind of a random happening by the confluence of atoms in some kind of a crazy way. But you were intended by God. You were appointed. We always ask the question, but for what? For what? That is a great discovery of the Christian life. When we begin to see how specifically that appointment is to be lived out in our lives. Well, the fourth step we take is that the angelic visit comes to someone who is highly favored. This highly favored one, as a matter of fact, that's how the angel refers to her. Luke 1:28, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." She was more than just somebody special, but she is highly favored, given the greatest honor. She has the greatest dignity, the greatest kind of distinction, the highest regard is given to Mary. But the thing is, it's not only for Mary. Now, it's hard to think of an honor that would be higher than to become the mother of the Savior of the world. But we are also highly favored. Now, it is not an earned distinction. It is not an award, but it is all a gift, a gift. A gift to Mary to be a favored one, and a gift to each one of us to be really, truly favored ones of God, every one of us. So God might say, you know, "Greetings, Don, you are highly favored." He would use each one of our names, and he would tell us that we are highly favored, selected and chosen out of love, and for no other reason, accepted by God in grace, God's favor. The Lord is with you. And just as the angel could say that to Mary, the Lord is with you, he is saying that to each one of us right now. Do you know that? You recognize that? You sense that? Yes, the Lord is with me right now, and he's never going to turn away from me. Taking step number 5, we see that the angelic visit troubles Mary. Luke 1:29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, her reaction is an emotional one, quite understandably. You don't just have an angel standing in front of you every day of the week. And so when this happens, now, if it happened to me, first thing I say, "Hey, I'm sorry, did I do something wrong? Am I going to die? What in the world is going on? Is this the end of the world?" Well, she's kind of stirred up. She's in turmoil. And I know I would be, and probably most of us would be too, as she tries to figure this whole thing out, trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. It can be a bit confusing and troubling. She's using her reason, and she seems to be tripping all over it, and she can't quite figure this whole thing out. It's a lot like it says in Isaiah 55 that my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. And anytime we try to wrap our mind around the things of God, we're going to be ending up in confusion. You see, every miracle of God is actually beyond our intellect. Even though we're tempted to bring our intellect and our intellectual resources to try to second-guess God, God's already got it all taken care of. And the thing we're called to do is just simply yield ourselves to the Spirit and the Word of God. And it's finally resolved when she says, "Let it be to me according to your word." Now, the sixth step in this is that the angelic visit actually confuses Mary. And again, verse 29, she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She's feeling pretty confused about this. Mr. Angel, I'm not sure what this is all about. You don't talk like somebody who's from around here. Where did you come from? I'm not at all familiar with this kind of a thing. Well, actually, it does come from another world. And it promises to come to us from another world, and it's a greeting from heaven for her. It is God saying, I welcome you to my world. Come on in to my world. Miracles happen here in my world on a regular basis. You don't have to live in a sub-miracle life. The Mary miracle says that the same power that Mary experienced is a power that is available to every believer in Jesus. Well, in Ephesians, in the third chapter, talks about that God is able to do things far more than what we can even ask or even imagine by the power that is at work within us. And Paul explains what that power is that is at work in the life of the believers. It's the very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So actually, the Christian life is not kind of a natural life where we do our best and we try to grind it out and try to be nice and that sort of a thing, but it is actually a supernatural kind of a thing. It is a supernatural life. It is always generated by the Holy Spirit. The seventh step here is that the angel does not criticize Mary. Even though Mary doesn't get it yet, she is not going to be insulted or anything like that by the angel. Luke 1, now in the 30th verse, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You're not under condemnation. I'm not here to scold you, but you have found favor. I'm just here to tell you something, some good news. You know, the angel says, do not be afraid, because you know why? Because she was afraid. And fear is one of the things that comes to us when something unusual begins to happen. So often fear is our problem, but the angel is saying, hey, take it easy. Everything is going to turn out all right. As a matter of fact, that's one of the takeaways from the whole Christmas story. Everything is going to turn out right. That's why God sent his son, because, you see, everything was turning out wrong in our world of sin and bad decisions and selfishness. Now, he says, no, everything is going to turn out right. Do not be afraid. The whole thing, you see, sin messes it up, and God comes, and he wants to fix it up. God himself coming and miraculously intervening to make it turn out right. Your life is going to turn out right. It is not a disaster movie. The eighth step is that the angel makes a pronouncement. And the pronouncement is this in Luke 1, again, 31 to 33. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So Mary, this is how it's going to turn out. What seems to you like an extremely strange happening, the outcome is going to be absolutely incredible. The baby that is going to be born is a baby that is born to save the world. The whole thing, Mary, it's a whole lot larger than what you are. You will conceive, yes, that's a miracle for a virgin, and you will bear a child. Yet, we find in the ninth step that the angelic visit is still kind of puzzling to Mary. As she asks in verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" You know, that's a real understandable kind of a question to be raised at this point. You know, I have not had the kind of experience that brings about a pregnancy. I have not had a relationship that brings something like this to be happening. This will have to actually take a miracle. So when God brings us something new and something challenging, we might also be a bit puzzled like Mary was. And we might think, you know what? I don't have the kind of relationship with God for this thing. I don't have the experience necessary for this kind of a thing. I just don't qualify. But the miracles in your life are not found by you doing everything right, by you meriting them, by you earning, okay, I did a lot of good stuff, now I get a miracle. No, it is simply because God has a plan and a purpose in your life, and he's got a provision for you for everything. So that, just like the angel said to Mary, nothing with God is impossible. But how often don't we throw up that word, impossible, impossible, impossible? And I'm even thinking about where on one occasion it said that Jesus could not do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. So don't throw that up. But we look at the next verse, and we see in the final, in the 10th step, that the Holy Spirit will visit powerfully in this situation. And that's verse 35, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You see, it's totally a God thing. Mary, you're going to be enveloped in the glory of God. Yeah, you may not be experienced in the things of life. You may not have the relationships that you think are necessary for all of this to take place. But this is totally a God thing. You know, we really can't figure out the things of God very well. But if God can figure out the God things, isn't that good enough for us? The miracle of life in the womb of a virgin, or God simply spoke his word, and the word, the Son of God, became flesh and came forth from her. And the Savior was brought out into the world, and the Savior is brought into our own personal world, not just in some great cosmic sense, but in a very, very personal sense, into our own personal world. And God speaks a word that goes into the dark places, kind of like the womb of Mary, and he brings life, and he creates life, and he wants that life to be growing inside of us. You see, there isn't anything that ever comes out, no, there's no word that ever comes out of the mouth of God where there is, let's say, that it lacks the power of the Holy Spirit to perform it. He makes it work. He speaks it, and he makes it work. Knowing this can keep us open to new possibilities in our lives, new miracles, yeah. New reasons for renewing commitment to our Lord. It can only happen by the Holy Spirit. And so where are you right now in your life? What is your stress point? What is your need? Where is there some kind of a sense of there's a spot of darkness? There's a shadow. The light has not been penetrating. Where is there perhaps a guilt that is unresolved? God's miracle word and promise would be available for everything and is waiting there for faith to seize upon that and to enter in with life. A word from God always elicits a response. It got a response from Mary. Let it be to me according to your word. As God's word comes to us, God's promises, God's offer of life, God's challenge, what kind of response does that elicit from us? A word from God elicits a response to God. We're preparing to draw this out to a conclusion. Mary did say, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So God comes and God encounters you. God challenges you. God lets you know, even though you don't know exactly the shape of it, and maybe it hasn't been as explicit in God's drawing near to you as it was for Mary, where everything was laid out quite specifically, but you had that sense. You know, God's been trying to deal with me. God's been drawing me, and I'm not sure what it is. You know, it's not a matter of, God, if you'll tell me what it all is supposed to encompass, what I'm going to be doing, what it all is, then I will say yes if I want to. But he comes and he asks a question, would you do something for me? If I will be with you and if I will empower you and if I will direct you, will you do something for me? And I say, yeah, well, what is it? He said, no, I didn't say I'm going to tell you what it is, but I do have something for you. Are you willing? Because if we say, oh, well, what is it? And then I'll let you know. You see, then we're taking charge of that whole thing. But if we just say, yes, God, no matter what, no matter where, no matter how, that's faith. You know, faith is a risk, isn't it? But when your faith is in God, it isn't a risk, is it? It isn't. Because he says, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you there hanging on your own. I'm with you.